It's just a real pleasure to welcome, on his debut appearance here, Douglas Vogt, who has a truly uncanny knack for revealing anomalies. He has uncovered material that I believe is so groundbreaking. How is the weather today in that part of Florida?
The sun's out, warm.
And I assume you probably also relocated, like so many of your neighbors, from another part of the U.S.
Yep, and August of 2015, we moved here from Bellevue, Washington. Summer was about a month and a half to 2 months long, if we were lucky. And the rest of the time was overcast and gray. Didn't snow too many times, believe it or not, but rain plenty.
Just beautiful down there. Your material is very extensive, but I'd like to give folks just a quick synopsis of what, having gone over all your videos, some of the key takeaways. What I've been able to gather here, you believe that we have a sun that approximately every 12,000 years has what appears to be a micronova, where projectile, like not just plasma, it rains all over our solar system. There's evidence you've found on the moon, you've proven. There's evidence all over this Earth that you've actually uncovered, like an archaeologist or a paleontologist. This seems to resolve unexplained anomalies that current mainstream theories just can't explain.
First of all, you have to remember, in order for me to have discovered what causes the Ice Age and why it happens immediately after a geomagnetic reversal, also known as a polar reversal, is I had developed an information theory of existence. I think I'm the first one in history to do it. And it was in my first book called Reality Revealed, A Theory of Multidimensional Reality. Unfortunately, there's no money. It's out of print, and the ones that were on Amazon were going for between $400 to $1,100, and they sold fast. I may reprint parts of that book, but without that philosophy that the universe is the product of information, I never could have figured out most of these.
Folks, you have to keep in mind, this individual came up with this theory 4 decades plus. This is way before the simulation hypotheses that we're hearing coming from mainstream, or the simulated universe.
See, when you write a textbook rather than a novel, then people could take your information, not give me any credit, and Roland Emmerich did it in 3 of his movies. So it's just par for the course. You just get used to it. But the main issue is this. I figured out the exact number of years between reversals, which is 12,068 years. I found it in 1989 by doing a database of all known stars, Oma clusters, and globular clusters. The stuff I'm telling you now, you can go see and they're like classes. On YouTube, search for Dihole Foundation channel, and then it's series 1, part 2 is how I found this clock cycle. The reason why it's important now is because the next clock cycle appears to be in 27 and a half years from now, when the next Gleisberg cycle happens. And when that happens, the sun does nova. That's the thing that causes the ice age. You have to look for the heat rather than the cold. The cold comes later. In order to have an ice field that's, like in Seattle, we had one supposedly at 4,000 feet thick, that represents about 19,000 feet of snow. Needless to say, this is not a normal snowfall. And it happened, it was accumulated within 40 years about. So you have to figure it out backwards, and what I'm about to tell you, it never shows up in any geology books, geography books, meteorological books, nothing. So if you have that much ice and snow, on the other side of the equation has to be a certain number of calories of heat exerted on the ocean to evaporate a lot of ocean water to eventually become clouds that dump on you, eventually snow, and it becomes ice. When you got an accumulation enough, you know, you got thousands of feet of ice, you're going to, it's from thousands of feet of snow compressed down. So that's the thing. Now, regarding the CIA, my first book came out in 77, later 77. I did some radio shows then, and I did get a call from the Army in Fort Lewis. I was living in Bellevue, They called me up, and they said they had a... Try not to laugh too hard. This is a true story. They said they had a ghost in the attic of their military museum. I didn't click what they were really trying to tell me. About a month and a half later, a guy called me up from Tacoma, which is just the outskirts of Fort Lewis, and said he was calling regarding my book, Reality Revealed, and he wanted to know, and he asked me, how did I figure it out? How did I know what caused the Ice Age and everything like that? Later on in the conversation, he said he was a retired CIA. I'll explain why the military said they had a ghost in the attic. What do we call spies? Well, that's also a name we use for ghosts. So he was saying he had a spy, a CIA agent there, and he wanted to talk to me. I didn't connect it, and I don't know why they didn't want to say it on the telephone, but that was my first encounter with the CIA.
What you've described, it wouldn't surprise any of us here, and you are right in your assessment. The individual is most likely concerned that the wire was not, that it was not a secure line transmission. But again, you weren't in intelligence at the time, so you wouldn't be looking for those cues. Since some of the videos we've already posted, we'll continue posting all of them. Got to encourage everyone to bookmark the Diehold Foundation on YouTube. That's your first go-to, and then, of course, the Diehold Foundation website. We'll get to all that at the end. Please elaborate on the geological evidence that you present in one of your videos that shows the deep erosion around the continents that can only be described by extremely fast-flowing or flood-like events. Later on, I'd love for you to get to your clock cycle, and more importantly, perhaps, the actual Diehold itself, diagram that you've come up with that shows at the Planck level.
It's a complex series of events. That's in video series 4, and I think it goes up to series of G on one of them. I mean, it's just that many pieces to this thing. But when the sun novas, some of the geological evidence found in the solar system and on the Earth are these glass beads. They're very small, 1 millimeter and smaller. And the chemical composition of the glass beads and also iron, nickel beads, little tiny beads, and magnetite also, found on the moon and on the Earth with the same chemical composition. The Europeans landed on a comet 67P. I have the original papers. And the chemical composition of the comet was the same material that was found on those glass beads on the sedimentary layers at the same level of a geomagnetic reversal as the same stuff found on the moon. NASA and also the CIA know. It looks like CIA was stuck with the job of having to investigate it and deal with it. And I actually feel sorry for them being stuck with this kind of a job, which was outside the purview of what the law that created them, but they were stuck with the job because they could keep a secret. This particular thing does not keep a secret well, as you'll find out when you see the videos, how they were involved in the National Science Foundation and how they basically control what papers get researched and published. And that's why they've been doing this for like 60 years. So you've got three generations of scientists, geologists and astrophysicists, thinking only one way, and because they don't know, or they aren't experts in a lot of different fields. You have to be like a Renaissance person. Some of these PhDs are excellent in describing the molecules on the bark of a tree, but can't tell you that tree's part of a forest or part of a continent or is on a planet. They're very, very narrowly focused, and that's the major problem. I had to wind up reading a lot of textbooks, a lot of different fields, and also read the journal Science, Nature, Geology from about the mid-50s to about the beginning of the 90s. And that's how I knew the schism between what they teach in the textbooks is like night and day what's in the journals. And I realized, you know, this doesn't make any sense. Why are they teaching something that's obviously wrong? And I think a lot of it's due to government not wanting the people to know the real mechanism. In the beginning, they didn't know when this thing was going to happen. I quote a letter I got from a guy named Ken Kuzman. His cousin was an astrophysicist up in Alaska, and his job was to figure out where Jupiter became solid, because they thought it was a near sun, didn't quite make it. In other words, they were looking for the missing heat. And I actually have his journal articles. It was published in Science. I know who it is. And so his story was true, and I spoke to him on the phone besides the letter he sent me. And you'll see the letter on the website in the video.
Have you ever considered the fact that Jupiter, using your model, the Diehold model, and Saturn, at some point were suns and may have had micronovas of themselves, explaining much of the topology and geological anomalies on the surrounding moons, not to mention the rings of Saturn?
I define dimensions differently. I define dimensions by how much information that existence has and how much potential it has. And there's a big difference between a planet and a star. It was once a planet in the same orbit as the Earth is now. When this star novas, it pushes the planets a little further out. I don't know how much further. It could be 50,000 miles, it could be 100,000 miles. Eventually, the planet loses most of its water, and it gets too cold and too far away from the sun. Go look at Mars. That it shows obvious rivers and channels and oceans, and guess where all that water went? It got evaporated out.
Again, you've just resolved at least three key anomalies.
On the deep sea canyons on the Earth, they look exactly like the ones that are on Mars, because Mars had an ocean. What causes ours, on the edge of every single continental shelf, regardless of what continent, you'll see these deep canyons and smaller canyons along the entire length of any of the continental shelves. Off the east coast of the United States, it's lying 200 to 400 miles out, and then it goes down. And it goes down to about 10 to 11,000 feet below current sea level. Some of them, like the Delaware Canyon, the Oceanographer Canyon, the Hudson River Canyon, and they built a deep-sea submarine, the Navy paid for it, called the Alvin back in the 60s, and they did that to see what was down there. Was there any currents that could have done this? And if anyone's taken chemistry 101, you know that fresh water is lighter than salt water, because salt water has salt in it and a whole bunch of other minerals in it. So a fresh water can only do an alluvial plain, such as the Nile Delta, the Mississippi Delta, etc. So the question is, what formed all these canyons all over the world? And this is what happens. At the time of the reversal, our Earth's rotation stops. It slows down weeks beforehand, and it stops for about 7 to 8 hours and then goes in the opposite direction.
Could you please throw in the interesting anomalies, the fossilized sea life, and just how that ties in, actually proves your theory?
Oh, yeah, and plus a bunch of mythologies also. But yes, the last time the Earth rotated in the opposite direction, so the sun rose in the west and set in the east, so it rotated, and if you look down at it would be clockwise rather than counterclockwise, which is now if you look down from the North Pole. So what happened when the Earth stopped the rotation, the Pacific Ocean rushed over China and Southeast Asia. And the Chinese to this day have a mythology that, and the evidence is that you find fish bones and other things in the Gobi Desert. And their mythology says the ocean ran over the place. That's what happened.
I have another anomaly for you may not have even thought of, that the key pyramids of Egypt, they have now just found seashells at 60 to 85 feet within the pyramids.
It's the drainage area for the Great Plains. So when the ocean went from the Atlantic to the Pacific, it basically dumped and drained out that way. And this doesn't happen just once. Like back to the deep sea canyons. So if you were standing last time on the Pacific side, let's say in California, you'd see the ocean rushing away from you real fast. And if you could go past the continental shelf, you could look down to the bottom of the Pacific. And on the other side, though, it was the Atlantic Ocean rushed over the continent, over the Appalachians, and through the Great Plains, and worked its way all the way to the Pacific. That's what You got that Monterey Deep Sea Canyon, which is very impressive, but that's on the West Coast. Same thing goes to the Deep Sea Canyon off the Columbia River in Washington State. They can't explain those, but that's the reason why. There was temporarily no ocean water there. This time, in the way the Earth rotates now, if you're on the Atlantic side, and when the reversal happens, you'll see the Atlantic Ocean rushing away from you really fast. If you could fly and get to the edge of the continental shelf, you'd look right down to the bottom of the Atlantic, because all that water is going east towards Europe and Africa, and that's where it's going. But on the west coast, you'll have the Pacific Ocean. I wouldn't say the entire Pacific, because I don't know how much of it is going to go over the continents, the Americas, but you can't stop it. It's not like a tsunami tidal wave. It's not like that at all. This is the entire mass of the Pacific Ocean coming towards you real fast.
I'd just like to throw in here that all of this work, everything from the Dipole Foundation, all the videos and the literature, are annotated in a way that really approaches APA level annotation. I mean, this is legit. The next anomaly I'd like for you to address that your work, I believe, resolves, it's one that has confounded paleontologists for quite some time, is the woolly mammoth and the rhino phenomenon, the instant freezing in the northern latitude, of course, Siberia and all over northern Canada. I mean, we just find woolly mammoths just chewing food and just standing as though they were still walking. Another anomaly that your work proves, they've just found instantly frozen sea waves 20 feet high in Antarctica.
Okay, this explains kind of both. Actually, I think it's higher than 20 feet. I have a picture of it in one of the things, and it looks like it's much higher than 20 feet. But this is how it happened. There's two stages to this thing. When the Earth stops its rotation for 7 to 8 hours, that side of the Earth is basically cooked and baked. Everything that's above the surface that's organic is going to burn. That's why you have, the scientists have found, a higher incidence of carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide in the gas bubbles in the ice fields, because that's a lot of stuff burning, and the byproduct is CO2. So then the Earth starts rotating again in the opposite direction. 17 to 18 hours after the reversal started, the opposite side gets hit with this dust shell that has the glass beads in it and microtactites and blobs of glass. And last time, that was basically, if you took a longitude running through New York and Brazil, that's how I think it went. And exactly on the other side of it is Siberia. And so this is what happens. The dust shell hits the sun side, the side that gets nailed.
Could you please just start with the initial heating? Explain that this is really a two-stage process that then leads to cataclysms beyond belief. Thank you.
Right. It's basically the nova happens. Earth stops its rotation at that moment for 7 to 8 hours is what I estimate. Then it starts rotating in the opposite direction. So, but it takes about 17 to 18 hours for that dust shell from the nova to actually reach the Earth.
So if I might interject just quickly, we get a flash burn, you might say, and perhaps followed by a plasma burn. This probably occurs for a few minutes to maybe a few hours. There's a calm before the storm. The Earth turns, let's say, 12 hours or so on its axis.
Yeah, the dust shell hits. When the dust shell hits, it'll evacuate a lot of atmosphere on that side of the Earth.
Can I just say you've just proven another anomaly? This is one of my favorites. It's one I've been working on for years, and why? The surface of the sun is so unbelievably cool, roughly 7,000 degrees Fahrenheit, instead of much, much higher as it is further. So funny, because I hypothesized this years ago, and I wrote a paper on it. But my hypothesis was it was being cooled by a crust-like outer layer. Again, this supports your hypothesis.
It evacuates a lot of the atmosphere on that side of the Earth. It would have been South America, Central, and across Brazil, a longitude run through Brazil. The backside still has normal atmospheric pressure, and that would be Siberia and part of China and Russia. So what happened was, after the dust shell passes us, The speed of the dust shell, I estimate, at 1,550 miles per second. The astronomers have estimated from other novas that they've seen that the dust shell is about 1,500 miles per second. I believe it's like 1,550 miles per second, not much of a difference. So I'm not the only one that says these things expand very rapidly. When it passes the Earth, I don't know how deep it is also. It could be a couple hundred thousand miles. It could be a million miles deep. I just don't know. We do know it finally stalls out what they call the Kuiper Belt, K-U-I-P-E-R belt. It's past Uranus and Neptune, and that's our remnant dust shells from our sun's previous novas.
Again, disproving the mainstream idea or concept that all of that dust and comets and outside of the general solar system, you might call it, let's call it the fringe of the solar system, they believe that is a remnant of the founding of the solar system. Again, the Diehold Foundation disproves that and hypothesizes that it's the result of many micronovas. First, we have the blast of energy. So you see this incredible flash of light on one side of the Earth, and approximately 12 hours or so later, on the other side, it is smashed by these small particles, and that, of course, causes an instantaneous vacuum, which then does what? When you have a vacuum, instantly, you have an incredible freeze.
It's 1,550 miles per second.
Thank you.
After the dust shell passes, one side of the Earth is extremely low atmospheric pressure, the backside is normal. So what happens? The normal expands rapidly around the Earth to fill up the extremely low atmospheric pressure. Boyle's law, when you have an expanding gas, temperature drops. That's what fast froze the mammoths, mastodons, cave lions, woolly rhinoceroses.
And the Antarctic waves, exactly.
Yeah, that's how... Yeah, right. They were also... Where they found it was also on the backside when it happened. And it just freezes it solid. It's probably below 172, 190 degrees below Fahrenheit. Well, it was below zero. I don't know how cold it'll get, but that's really the job of NOAA and NASA to go figure that out. I don't have to. We pay them a lot of money. Let them go figure out the details of this thing where they can go model it. When the ocean water goes over the continent, when it reaches the other side, it pours generally through the river channels that already exist, but over everything. That's why the entire length of a continental shelf has these smaller canyons all through the whole thing. It just pours over it. Now, it doesn't happen in one reversal. This is multiple reversals, hundreds of, if not thousands of reversals, made these deep canyons. But the ocean goes literally over the entire continent. I'm going to do videos on volumes 1, 2, and 3 on decoding the Hebrew scriptures. And you'll know why Abraham bought that cave and what Moses did. And you'll actually see the whole Exodus story and everything I found that Moses describes. In other words, he wasn't a fictional character. Fictional characters do not leave physical evidence behind. Simple as that.
Absolutely. And folks, if you haven't seen these videos, bookmark the Diehold Foundation. Try one or two. Try especially the first few, and you'll be, I promise you, you'll be as hooked as I am. Douglas Volt, thank you, sir.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. Goldseek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Apmex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technologies. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold. GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.